water.
Yeah, it is just water. It's just weird to hear.
I can hear it. Yeah. We're getting it a little bit, but it's nowhere near our room volume. So just keep talking and no one will ever hear it. There we
go. It's ambiance.
Yes.
1920s ambiance.
There you go.
It's the boiler just hissing in the background.
Oh, no, that thing will thump and kick first, and then it will hiss. Okay. It'll probably kick on in an hour, maybe, and it'll just go, a-boom!
Well, that's how we'll know we're done.
Oh, no, no. It's just fun to see people jump when they're not expecting it at all. It just comes out of nowhere, because it catches me off all the time.
Right.
Ugh. That's weird. But you know, this might actually be a good time to start.
Indeed.
So, Andrew, Eric, thank you very much for joining us in the Wheels Brewing Co. studio for episode 68.
68.
I remember, because I remember I almost said, I think I said 66 last time, right? Or like 65. And so it's just like, I really focused on this, was like 68.
Yeah, we did have a moment during recording of the last episode where...
Yeah. Couldn't remember.
Where we were like, what? But we're good. 68. So, yeah. Again, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
Eric, you have never been on before.
Never.
So, and you're an uptownian.
I like to consider myself a Whittierian. A Whittierian from Whittier.
Huh.
Is that what's next one up?
Yeah, that's the neighborhood just north of here.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Because usually I'm in Lyndale, Kingman, Dunn.
Yeah, I like Whittier better because most people that live there think they live in Uptown, but I'd rather not live in Uptown personally. So,
see, that's why I like this because it feels like the suburbs of Uptown over here. It's really quiet.
Yeah, it's all housing.
Yeah, like when I say Uptown, I don't mean Water Street and Madness, all that. Craziness up there. This is like not downtown, but not suburbs.
Yes, South Minneapolis.
I'll take it.
Great place to be.
So being that you're presumably out on your own, or at least roommates, something along those.
Mm-hmm.
Do you stream? Like, do you watch movies, listen to music? Any?
Not really. I mean, if I can get it on my phone, I'll watch it or listen to it.
Okay.
I just haven't really used my computer in the last 2.5 years since I graduated from college.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Or since I got an iPhone, probably.
That is true. It does replace a lot of the
need.
Basic need for it.
Mm.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I mean, I'll use it to sync my iPhone.
Sure.
So, you know, $1,300 for that, I guess.
Wow.
Though, okay, so on your iPhone... do you use any specific services, or is it more just as much free stuff as you can get your hands on, or a little bit of both?
I think most recently it's been a lot of Netflix on my phone. Like, on a lazy Saturday morning or something like that, watch a couple episodes of something here and there.
Right.
Like, most recently I devoured Portlandia this last weekend.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that was pretty fun.
Cool, yeah. Katie's kind of getting me into that one. Do you have, like, a favorite sketch that you've seen so far?
Most recently, I've really enjoyed Peter and Nance, where they're, like, this suburban couple, almost,
mm-hmm.
where Fred Armisen does a lot of stuttering.
Uh-huh.
And it just makes me laugh, because he'll just be like, I wonder if... and it just drives everyone else in the sketch nuts, so I've been enjoying that.
Very cool.
Yeah, he's like, that super passive... You know, like, won't stand up for himself and won't make any waves.
Well, yeah, he's trying, but
he's trying, but he's like, he doesn't want to.
He can't commit.
He doesn't want to offend anybody.
Exactly. Right.
Trying to be nice.
Yeah. That's right.
Huh.
Yeah, he's good. I like, that's the thing about that show is you know, when you only have, what are the episodes, like half hour?
Yeah.
You can just rip through them. You can just devour them. Yeah, I like, you know, the bicycle rides guy, of course, is always...
Spike.
Yeah, bike guy. He's good. That whole show, really.
I haven't watched it a lot recently. I just remember, like, seeing the mayor of Portland.
Yeah.
And hang out in his office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are always the funny ones too. Like, did you see the episode where they found out he was in a reggae band? Like, they couldn't find him, and then he was in a reggae band.
I haven't seen a lot of them. I've seen a few, but I keep getting distracted by stuff I've seen millions of times, but still want to watch again anyway.
Ah.
I think as Minneapolis is, you know, Minneapolis is pretty weird. I think we kind of relate to that. Just all this, like, niche culture and, like...
I would say so, yeah.
Right? We're almost sister cities, but, I mean, they have their own thing, like...
Yeah, they are... what's it? Where did Molly live?
Which Molly?
Wisconsin Molly.
Okay.
Whatever hipster New York is.
Williamsburg.
Mm-hmm.
Though those two are kind of, I see, in very similar ways. I mean, Portland's also just more out there, to put it lightly.
Yeah.
East Coast, West Coast versions.
Yeah, I think it's arguable.
Similar ideas.
I think it's arguable that Minneapolis may be like the number three hipster city, though, behind Williamsburg and Portland, naturally.
I remember seeing an article saying that we were the most hipster city for a period of time. Somehow, really? Some way.
But that was...
ironically, of course.
Yeah, yes. I remember, yes. Of course. I remember hearing about that, and it was based on the fact that we have... like the highest amount of things that hipsters like to do. Like, we've got our awesome bike trail network.
Yeah, and we're really close to Wisconsin, where PBR is from. So
Spam Museum.
Oh yeah,
there you go.
Yep.
I actually want to try to remember Minneapolis hipster.
We wear a lot of flannel.
Hipster capital.
That's true.
Maybe.
Okay, so May 16th was when the article came out of. Was that this year or last year? Last year. Last year.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming they 2011? Surveyed hundreds of scientists to get this.
Well, it's just a one single hipstorical society that doesn't...
Hipstorical.
And it originated from BuzzFeed.com, where they declared Minnesota the most hipster state.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
So it was more the wide-ranging rather than focusing on Portland or Williamsburg. Mm.
Yeah,
it's because we're too cool to be East Coast or West Coast.
Yeah, we can't make up our mind. We're just in the middle.
Yep.
Most co-ops per capita, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, the bike trails thing made sense. And bike lanes.
Oh, and lakes, of course. I mean, technically, I think nature is a big part of... Well, I don't know. I think in Portland it is, because like, they have that big... I think they have a big, you know, a lot of people that like the green... growing green and, you know, very eco-friendly.
Oh, yeah. All organic.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like more of our lakes are like hipsters' parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
lake crowd.
Yeah. Excelsior people.
I mean, you have to have a trust fund to be a hipster. So, I mean, your parents have to live on Lake Minnetonka, and you have to rebel and go live in wild northeast, you know, stuff like that.
No, north.
Well, see,
the people who just, like, try to be really out there, it's like, yeah, no.
I don't think they live in North yet, for the
really?
Most part. Yeah.
I thought after, like, the tornado damage and the trying to rebuild and all of that, like, there would be, like, an insurge.
I would think so. I guess I'm not seeing it, though.
I think they're just very small cultures of it, but it's funny when you...
Like, right around 55... Like, it's slowly, like, making its way there in waves.
There is, like, an arts house that just opened up there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, I don't know how many artists, double digits something, but stuff like that. And then the hipsters will follow slightly behind them, I think.
Right.
Because the artists are the true brave ones.
Yep.
If you build it, they will come.
Exactly.
I feel like brave doesn't really even play into it at all. It's just they are the followers who don't want it to be known that they're following something.
Yes.
Really convoluted way of living. I love this, but no one can know.
Right, right. Yeah, that is yet there the plight of being a hipster.
That's the choice.
Yeah,
they're not born that way.
To have such great music, but unable to share it with anybody.
Such a lonely life.
Always at concerts by yourself.
Oh, that's one of my favorite Portlandia sketches. oh, this bar is so over. Like he walks by and there's a guy in a suit in there and he's like, over. And he just walks away. Like everything you love.
Well, having seen only an episode and a sketch of Portlandia so far, I absolutely love the one about the chicken where they're in the restaurant and they're like asking
is it local?
Yeah, oh, I did see that one.
I'd like to can we go to the farm
did the chicken have a lot of friends?
I think that's isn't that Nance in that sketch?
Yeah, I think that's Peter and Nance and then Peter they go up to the farm and I think it's Jason Sudeikis who runs the farm. He's a polygamist with a lot of wives up there.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And then 5 years later, he dies. And then they go back to the restaurant. They're like, hey, we're back. So just, can you tell me about the salmon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a great bit. That's the great thing about Portlandia. They're taking all of the things that hipsters are usually made fun of for and making fun of that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. A lot of subject matter in there that you can get at.
Definitely.
It'll be interesting to see in the future how much staying power it has for being like a very modern era focus where I've through watching all of the Who's Line clips that are on YouTube, like they make so many references to how popular Survivor was at the time among so many other things. It's like so many TV shows where they're just so focused on Blair Witch, Titanic, all this stuff. It's like, wow, this is really dating this show very quickly where they're just trying to play modern the entire time.
Hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what a show like that, which plays so, pulls so much content from a modern counterculture like counterculture.
I think you can kind of just see already the stuff that it, not the hipster movement necessarily, but the things that kind of go along with it, like Occupy or whatever. Because I think that'll be a little more long term. Have a bit of grab on society.
Yeah,
That does make me think like how popular culture remembers people. Like Nixon, for example, will never be remembered as like a good guy. But like Clinton, this last weekend at the Golden Globes got a standing ovation. Mm-hmm. For just
and on top of that, he just won the best father of the year from like the National Father's Day Foundation.
Yeah. So even though
like, he rose from the ashes,
he was the butt of Jay Leno jokes for at least 3 years. He's now highly admired and respected.
He did stop eating at McDonald's.
Ah.
There you go.
So it may have just been like the PR person came and was like, all right, so stop that. We should be good.
You want to improve your public image? Just stop eating at McDonald's. That's all you have to do.
Boom.
And people will love you.
Mm.
But I mean, he, for the campaign, I mean, his speech at the National Convention, Democratic National Convention was really awesome. I mean, it was just an amazing speech. He really just captivating for the whole thing. It was really cool. So I got a lot of respect for him from that.
Mm-hmm.
Just watching him speak so passionately.
Well, I think the reason is that, and this is smart because Hillary's running in 2006. So if they can
2006.
2016.
There you go.
There it is.
I missed the number. Whatever. But, I think, you need to address your image before, as far can and before you can run, because that's definitely going to be a thing.
To turn a phrase, you have to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, to turn a phrase.
And I, because, shotgun bullets are always bad for your health, so I mean.
One would say, I guess. I mean, if you're just like freebasing them, I could see a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just getting into the whole gun debate thing, which we can gleefully stay out of. I'm trying to think of this great setup act I actually saw about Bill Clinton, or it is more like a one-man show kind of thing. I can remember it's called My Buddy Bill, and I cannot... It's a guy who is a writer for The West Wing, and I can't think of his name to save my life right now, so I have to look it up, but it's something that I recommend that... Check it out. I think it's one of those things that's available through the like Comedy Central stand-up videos that are available through Hulu or Amazon Prime or Netflix if they still have them.
Hmm.
But it's a really fantastic story of this guy who hung out with Bill Clinton a bunch of times during and after his presidency, Rick Cleveland. And it is available on Netflix. So check it out, Rick Cleveland's My Buddy Bill. It's a fun little half-hour one man telling a story about his interactions with Bill Clinton. Just to throw something streamable out there.
Right.
But, Andrew, I was going to ask you, what are you watching, listening to lately?
What have... I just started Freaks and Geeks, and I'm actually really liking it.
Oh, really?
And it's just funny to see, like, you know, because it's Jason Segel and Seth Rogen and... who's the guy? James Franco.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And like, yeah, I'm actually really liking it. It's very rare you see such talent that young, you know.
Mm-hmm. When did this one come out?
Oh my gosh.
Late 90s or early?
I think so.
2000? I'm trying to remember. It's one of those things where I was definitely aware of it and then just never really sought it out. And even now it's like, it's available, so it's, I'll get to it, but it's.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's really good. It's so that it just deals with, like, we were talking about high school out there. Mm-hmm. That even being it, you know, is in the 90s, it just brings back so many, like, common problems you have in high school and, like, your, like, how your thought process when you're, like, making plans and stuff like that. It's really delightful to see that kind of stuff.
But on a more realistic level versus today's high school dramas.
Right. Right.
Where they break out into song every 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Every 7 or 8 minutes when I was in school, but...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Minnetonka was a little more tame back then.
yeah.
So, when you're watching Freaks and Geeks, can you kind of see things in development that these guys are kind of first learning about the kind of characters that they play? Like,
right. Yeah, you see a lot of that, and then, like, also your struggle to fit in, obviously, you know, just to have, like, friends and stuff, which, you know, going through high school, who doesn't have that kind of thing? And I'll tell you, ever since, I don't know if I've told you this, but I started chaperoning the high school ski club this winter.
Oh, very cool.
So I get, you know, free snowboarding, it's awesome, I get to hang out with a bunch of high school kids, and, like, you see those dynamics. And then I get to see those, like first of all, being back in the high school, because that's where we pick them up. So
yeah, still haven't. I've been back once the year after I graduated. Since then, drove by, saw it, looked like the Excel Center now.
Yep.
A little bit. and that's about it.
I tell you, I had to go back. I got lost in there. They've done so much. They've done so much work. I seriously couldn't even find my way to the cafeteria from the east entrance.
It's unrecognizable.
What?
Yeah.
From up the stairs.
You know where the buses come in? You know where the buses... Yeah. So that's where the buses pick them up for ski club. So we have these charter buses that come in.
Yeah.
And one of the chaperones, her daughter didn't grab her skis. So they keep the skis in the outside courtyard by the lunchroom.
Yep.
I wound it up like at the East Gym. I could not find my way to
the... It used
to
be a straight shot, didn't it? What happened
to
the
Commons? It used to, but now they've relocated a lot of offices. If you remember the original Commons, there was a...
This is getting into something that no one who did not go to Minnetonka will understand, but I am still captivated enough to know.
I think we just need to sum it up by just visit. I'm not okay, but I should probably preface that by saying, like, don't just go into a high school
during the day.
Yeah, yeah.
When there are kids around, that's not good.
So suffice to say, it is unrecognizable, and if you do get into that new section, basically, you have to go by dead reckoning.
Yes.
If if you know which way you're supposed to be going.
But ski chaperoning, getting back to that.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's even, because I'm the youngest chaperone there. So, you know, I try to be the cool guy and, like, you know, and, like, I get to sit in the back of the bus to make sure no one's getting too rowdy back there or anything. Or on the ride back, you know, coupling.
Oh, man.
Which is just, you know, and I ride the freshman bus. So it's always like, I stake out everyone on the bus. So like two girls in this seat, two boys in this seat. And then like maybe I'll check back and like, oh, those two switch seats. I got to keep my eye on them. And it's just like so awkward how clicky it is. And like when you see people that want to try to get involved, you know, in coupling or, you know, just want to stay with their crew the whole night, and then they're getting separated, and then I got to help them find these other kids, and it's just all these, like, first world problems, I guess you could
say. First world problems,
first world,
right.
Teenage problems, where it's, yeah, like, well, I lost my friends, and they were going to go here, and then I'm like, oh, do you know how to get there? Like, this one kid, he lost his friends on the train park, and I'm, like, trying to give him directions.
He is not getting through.
He is just like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, do you need me to help you? Do you want to follow me there? And he's like, oh, yeah. I don't know where this is.
Yes, but, please.
Yeah. And they're short. And yes,
they're short.
Very short. And I'm 6'4". So,
well, yeah, you're already. It's more so you're tall.
They look up to you. Mm-hmm. They do.
So, yeah. I'm a little surprised you didn't just text them.
Well, you know, out there and like an after
those gloves, your thumb is like 2 miles long.
Yeah, and the signal, you don't really get a good signal in the valley.
It's
in
true.
The river valley. Yeah.
Yeah. Where do they go nowadays? Do they still go to Wild Mountain and Afton?
Afton Wild, and now we've added Welch.
Nice.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember going there once. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I've actually never been there, so I'm excited to head out there. But it goes Afton, Afton, Wild, Afton, Afton, Welch.
Nice. How did you get into that?
Oh, my mom's a chaperone too.
Okay.
So then they're like, always you need chaperones. And the problem being, the majority of the people that do it for their kids, so mm-hmm. they can have their kids ski free, and then they ski free.
Yeah.
But I do it because I want to stay in the train parks, and that's usually where the most injuries happen. So it's kind of nice. They're kind of like, yeah, yeah, we see how this could be beneficial to have someone who just doesn't sit in the chalet and read a book the whole time. Especially on Friday when it was that, you know, that like freezing rain the whole night.
Oh,
and the conditions weren't bad in my opinion. But if you would have asked any of the other chaperones, they were all in the chalet, and you know. Luckily, we didn't have any injuries, so
yeah.
I feel like I did my job.
That was kind of a nasty day to be on the slopes,
mm-hmm.
or evening.
Just really wet, you know, and visibility terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. I bet. Mm-hmm. I should totally get into that. I mean, I would totally go for free snowboarding.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
Hmm.
Last time I was in a chalet was from playing disc golf.
Mm.
And the last time I went skiing was probably middle school.
Mm.
That's a while back.
I can go down the hill and I can stop. I've gotten my fill. Like, different hills won't do anything else for me. It's just top, bottom, survive, done.
Whee! Yeah.
I could do that in an inner tube and probably have more fun every time.
Yeah.
The end of my ski club experience was breaking my collarbone freshman year.
Ooh. Yes.
But
well, if
I've been out snowboarding again since.
Mm.
It's not like it put a kibosh on the whole thing.
It's not That's like good. A shark came up and bit your arm off.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'll never snowboard again.
Right.
But
well, yeah, the conditions
sharks.
On Friday, it was really weird. It was like they had like a 4-inch hard pack snow. But then when it was like, you know, around 40, and then it was wet. So if you fell, you would dig in. And, like, it would just, like, catch you if you fell, which was just kind of weird.
Interesting.
It was, yeah, I'd never really boarded any conditions like that.
Huh.
But one more thing really quick, as long as we're talking about snowboarding, I can talk about snowboarding news, which is Afton is now owned by the company that owns Vail. It's called Epic.
Really?
Hmm. Yes.
So What does that mean for Afton?
Well, it means it's in a network. Vail owns like 6 or 7 other mountain, like Copperhead and all these other big guys. So basically, their idea in that is if you get a season pass to Afton, it's good for Vail and everywhere else.
Oh, wow.
Hmm. Okay. So they're trying to pull more people to get out there to visit, obviously. And now that they've... And I talked to a lot of the people there because like, there was hardly anyone there on Friday. So I got to talk to a lot of people about the change. And they said, oh, well, you know, they're not really changing anything. They're just seeing how much they want to invest in it. And so they've taken to, you know, incorporating more terrain.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like little outlets of like maybe 4 boxes like at the top of the hill. And then it's just the same. And then... Yeah, they're just seeing how much they want to put into it, and I think it's I think it's pretty sweet if it's
if it picks up and
yeah, or if it puts more rails on the hill, I guess it'd be fun too.
Yeah, yeah. I always liked going to Afton. I mean, there are so many runs to do.
Yeah,
there, so
big, and that yeah. If you think of Vail and like the best, the biggest, you know, you gotta go to Afton, right?
Right. So now that we've completely tangented off of streaming,
it's actually a good time to take a quick break and then come back ready and refresh your movie plot.
Yeah, indeed. Okay.
We'll be back.
Hey guys, this is Dan Whalen. Thank you for listening to the Buffering Podcast. We've just made it through the discussion portion of episode 68 featuring Andrew Nelson and Eric Nelson, which we taped on January 16th, 2013 in the Wheels Brewing Co. studio. Great episode. You've already heard the discussion, but coming up next is the movie bluff round. Really great. Stay tuned. But before we get to that, we need to get some plugs in. Start the cheesy music. All right, first, you can find the Buffering Podcast online by going to bufferingpodcast.com. Right now we're doing a revamp of the site, but you can still find all of the episodes, all of the articles, all the bonus tracks, photos of our guests, and more, bufferingpodcast.com. Stay tuned for more changes there. You can also find the Buffering Podcast on Facebook and Twitter. On Facebook, we're facebook.com/bufferingpodcast. On Twitter, we're @BufferPodcast. On both of those, you'll get updates about the site, postings of episodes, bonus tracks, photos, articles, fun stuff like that. Follow us, like us, whatever you want to do. It's awesome. You can also find the Buffering Podcast on iTunes by searching for Buffering, by searching for my name, or by searching for Adam's name. Nothing easier than that. Check it out. And the Buffering Podcast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. So there are all of our plugs. Now, on to the movie bluff round of episode 68. Enjoy.
So it's not like you could say Michael J. Fox, Back to the Future, da-da-da-da, Michael J. Fox, Back to the Future again. You can't take that same exit. Yeah. You have to go somewhere else completely different.
Just to keep it from getting circular, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it's last man standing, so it's either going clockwise, counterclockwise, depending on which round it is. And your options are either you can call somebody's, like if somebody gives you an answer that you don't think is right, you can call their bluff on either they can't name what they just challenge you to do, or you can say they're wrong and call them out and then they're out. Otherwise, that's about it, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Mm-hmm. And I do actually have a good koosh ball for the starter.
Ooh. Go ahead.
I'm going to say Ocean's 12 cast.
Oh, gosh. And we're going, am I next?
Yes. Okay. We always start clockwise.
Got it.
I wish we were going counterclockwise today.
Isn't Wednesday opposite day?
No, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, it's not, it couldn't be easier, but I'm, you know, it's like chess. You want to pick your moves pretty far in advance.
I also thought that maybe you would know what would be a relative, you know, first time round Eric softball. So
right.
That, you know,
I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, no, for sure. But You never know.
That was my logic, was to put a space between with relations involved.
Right. Right. Okay. So I'll do Brad Pitt movie.
Brad Pitt.
Always eating shit.
Yeah.
True.
I'm going to go with, is it Men Who Stare at Goats?
And then you lock in your answer by either saying movie or cast. So either Adam has to name another movie that Brad Pitt has been in or cast of Men Who Stare at Goats.
I'll go with cast.
George Clooney. Movie.
Uh-huh. So ergo, I can't do Ocean's 11 or 13.
Indeed.
But I could say Syriana and then say movie.
Okay.
So not to be a big douchebag.
I was like, oh, that's one I've never
just
seen.
Just want to get right out of the way.
Good, good. So now I go to
George Clooney movie,
and I'm going to say Fantastic Mr. Fox cast.
Nice.
Oh.
This is right into my wheelhouse.
So I named someone from the cast of Fantastic Mr. I'm going to go Bill Murray.
Ooh.
Okay.
And then movie or cast?
Movie.
Thank you. Let's go with Groundhog Day movie.
Good thing we didn't go into Annie McDowell rut again.
No, thank you.
Movie, I will say Ghostbusters 2. Cast.
Okay. All right. I got this. So then, who's that guy? Okay. No, I'll just go with the one who I thought I knew, which was, I want to say.
It's good that you talk it out. Other people just sit there and just.
Okay.
You got this.
Wait, which Ghostbusters did you say?
Two. Which, comprises of the same core cast.
Let me tell you, I saw that, the only time I saw that was at daycare, I believe.
Did you see Ghostbusters 1?
I did, but again, probably at daycare. I want to say, LeVar, the black guy. It wasn't LeVar Burton. I'm just saying who it's not.
Start ruling people out.
That is
so Denzel Washington's out.
Right. Ooh, you know, Morgan
Freeman.
Oh, what? No, I didn't say it.
I don't think it was Morgan Freeman.
Looking at us trying to gauge our reactions.
I have to pass. I would just stall. But my guess was Dan Aykroyd, but that's not, I don't think he's in that.
Well, you could give it a shot.
All right.
I mean, if you're bowing out anyway.
Well, okay. I'll do Dan Aykroyd cast, and then you'll say if that's right, because that's locked in. I'm saying Dan Aykroyd.
Well, it's up to him to decide.
It's up to him to.
That's on to me.
Eric, yeah.
And I'm struggling to remember the black guy from Ghostbusters as well. I want
to. Try not to fixate.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're saying Dan Aykroyd is in Ghostbusters.
Wait.
Two.
I just
the
got
sequel.
It.
Wow, yeah, I'm flipping through my channels of what else have I seen that guy in.
Of Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah, not Dan Aykroyd, the black guy from Ghostbusters.
Oh.
I'm hanging out in his IMDb page right now.
Right.
So what's coming to mind to me, that black guy who is not mentioned,
right?
Which I wish I could go there, but I remember him from a How I Met Your Mother episode. Which I think that would have been a fun one to do.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. He's made the TV show rounds.
Yeah, since you didn't know his name.
Mm-hmm. That would have been fun. But can you think of somebody from Ghostbusters 2 as well as Dan Aykroyd?
Slimer? The green guy?
Yeah, I want Ray Parker Jr. Does that count?
I don't think he was actually in it. So your options at this point are just to bluff to Adam, pass, or call Andrew's bluff.
I'm gonna pass.
Okay, so it'd bow out, so that'd be cast to Adam.
Yeah. Well, I know for a certainty that Dan Aykroyd was in Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So you got that. Yeah.
All right.
So it falls to me to name someone else who was in the cast of Ghostbusters 2, and I will say Rick Moranis movie.
Oh, ooh, okay. I will say
I get Rick Moranis and Wallace Shawn confused a lot.
Oh.
They have like that same typecast a lot of the time.
I will say Honey, I Shrunk the Kid. No.
You're not
Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Okay.
And I will say movie.
It's too bad we didn't watch that last weekend when we found the VHS tape right in the basement.
That would have been helpful. Okay.
But movie, so it's just another Rick Moranis movie.
Oh, okay.
I'm not an asshole.
Okay.
I just wanted to throw the best of the group out there.
Okay.
That was pretty amazing. With the toddler playing the Hard Rock Cafe guitar.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Godzilla Baby is perfect.
Oh, yeah.
See, now...
That is a 90s movie right there.
Right.
Absolutely.
See, I want to know if I can rent it.
It's still a ride at Universal, I think. Honey, I really? Blew up the audience. Yeah. I believe so.
Oh, yeah. Man.
4D. Mm-hmm. Ooh. You sit there, and then they'll be like, oh, these rats got out. And then you'll feel the tails wiggle under your legs.
I remember that
you'll
part.
Be like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I remember somebody telling me about that, so I lifted my feet for that. And also, there was another ride that was like a Drew Carey mystery thing in a circus. Because the last thing was an elephant would sneeze on everybody. And I saw the little jet right in front of me. So I put my feet on it the entire time just to be safe. And everyone else was like, ew, gross.
Right.
Like, nope, I got it. I got this.
Free shoe wash.
So I stalled for you for a good few minutes there.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I gave you my weakness, which was I get Rick Moranis and Wallace Shawn confused a lot. So I know... I can't do Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Right.
Nope. Falls under the trilogy rule.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. But I can do...
$14.99, I can buy that movie HD right now. Holy crap.
He was in... I'm seeing him as a role being like a...
Don't you just love the 21st century?
Oh, God. He always plays a dad, like, in movies, right? I'm seeing him as, like, a dad in The Christmas Story. No. It's like a movie. It's a Christmas movie. What am I thinking of? Was he in a Muppet something? Okay. I'm going to lock one in.
All right.
We'll do The Incredibles.
Move your cast.
Cast.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope. I don't think Rick Moranis was in The Incredibles.
Wallace Shawn was, but...
One or the other.
It was
probable, but
I made you think.
Yeah.
So that would make it Rick Moranis movie to you.
To me. And let's go with Little Shop of Horrors cast.
Steve Martin movie.
The Three Amigos cast.
Oh, I love that movie.
John Lovitz movie.
Who did he play?
He played, I believe he was the lackey to the, to the, movie company president. Either he was the president or he was the lackey and, Phil Hartman was the other one.
Right. Okay. Cool. I know who we're talking about now.
You're welcome.
Definitely one of those that guy actors.
I got so many things for him.
I'm sure you do.
Well, I own four things that he's in. So that, there it was.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The radiator.
The familiar radiator sound.
Which means you must make a decision.
Gong.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, John Lovitz, he's shorter, balding.
Mm.
He's got kind of one of those sort of voices, and he talks like that all the time.
Yep. He's been animated, too.
I'm going to go with the safe bet and say the Simpsons cast.
Oh.
Very true, because he played his character from The Critic as that character on The Simpsons for a movie. It was like Simpsons Film Fest episode. Yes.
Nice.
There was a musical number, as I recall. It was New York, New York, what a terrible town.
No, it... really? Was that... Because I remember, like, the New York airplane flew in and is full of graffiti.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I thought that the only New York part was where he found Rainier Wolf Castle and he told him that his shoe was untied. And then it cuts to later's, like, upon further inspection, these are loafers. I remember all of that. Awesome. I thought it was like Springfield, what a terrible town. I thought that was a musical number that was... when they get high on sugar.
Oh,
right. Well, he has a running character too called like Barry Zink or something, and like
Artie Ziff. Yeah. Artie Ziff.
And he's Marge's high school sweetheart,
and he created something that would change the sound of a modem into like elevator music.
Right, right. And like I love that and he starts that story by saying, "Well, let me tell you, I was an internet billionaire." And then Lisa goes, "Say no more."
Oh, man. That's one of my favorite lines from The Simpsons. On further inspection, these are loafers.
Yes. Yeah. Though, one of my favorite John Lovitz lines from that, just to go on a complete tangent for this, because this is fun, is I think it might have been the second Artie Ziff episode where... he is now a billionaire or whatever, and he creates the snoring mask for Homer, where it's, what song was it? It turns into a certain song, but he had covered his own lyrics on there. God, his 80s song. I think it might have been the Eurythmics. What is that song?
Not sure. Not sure at all.
Well, you have a bunch of seasons.
It's electronica. I can't remember what it is, but all I remember was the last one was, "I am watching you through a camera." I just enjoyed that line. It was so much fun because it was so creepy. But
is that the sweet dreams are?
Yeah, that one. That's Eurythmics. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't think of that. I could just think of the beat.
Still the Simpsons cast to you.
Yes, I know.
Bit of a doozy.
Oh, you've so many choices.
Yes,
I
so...
really backed you into a quarter on this one.
So I will say Bono movie.
Oh.
Ender.
No, not even.
Oh, God.
Interesting.
I'm just steering this.
Okay. Cripes. What have I seen him in?
Oh, I don't know. I just got one.
Bono?
Yep.
A good one, too.
He's been in some kind of Irish movie sometime. Man, I don't know. And I know you know, so I'm just going to bow out.
Can I use my one steal?
Well... I was just going to say that I remember when we went to see Across the Universe.
Oh, yeah,
that's
what
I was going to say.
But he wasn't actually in it.
Yes. No, he was there.
He was.
He was the walrus.
Yep.
He sings.
He was Dr. Robert. I'm... The really trippy, like where it gets into the really trippy, and they get on the bus, and they end up at that one place, and
guy
won't see Bono.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm shaking my fist in anger. I should have known that one. Keeps popping up on my iPod.
Because I was trying to steer it that way. It's like, okay, so then you would say Across the Universe and either say Cast or something else, and I'd say Evan Rachel Wood, and then we'd go into The Wrestler, and then da-da-da-da.
It was going to be great.
It was going to be fun.
Would have been awesome.
But I'll take the first point. And there you go. Eric, you're the first person out, I believe.
Yes.
So you start this next round, and it goes to Andrew. And the way that we do request you start it is kind of a nice softball so that everyone can try to contribute something as well as possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with my favorite movie, The Lion King.
Oh. Very good. And then cast.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cast.
Because nowhere
else to go.
I was just,
all right. Jeremy Irons movie.
Oh. Wow, that's...
Wow.
Wow.
All right.
Gauntlet laid.
Here we go.
I know I've seen him in something else.
Definitely. I can hear his voice in my head.
Yeah. But the thing is, I could mistake him for other people.
Yeah, I get that too a lot with him, like Tim Curry, kind of like that same accent. Kind of same vein.
You know what? I'm...
He kind of looks like Scar.
Yeah.
A little bit.
For having gotten you out on Bono, assuming that I thought you totally had that, I'm going to challenge you to change it a little bit.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Cool.
I'll do...
So you have to just name a Jeremy Irons...
Okay.
...movie.
I know... I thought I knew one.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
I got a... I can't do Lion King 2, can I?
Nope.
Okay.
He's not even in that movie. I just realized.
But.
And you can't say the Lion King 1.5 either.
Right.
Because wouldn't he have probably... Or was that a Timon and Pumbaa story?
It was like the Lion King from Timon and Pumbaa's perspective, if I read the DVD back.
Like, it was like a side plot the entire time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It ran parallel to Lion King 1.
So it's like 1A. Mm.
Yeah, it was the same time as Lion King.
Oh, that's 1.5 stupid then. No,
that's different. Well, that's in the introduction of the movie. They can't do 2 because that already came out. But then they were being relevant to when it actually happened. So 1.5 seemed logical.
Bass.
Yes, I stay in.
Yeah. Nice.
That's my best challenge
very
ever.
Nice.
So
okay.
That means it's alternative Lion King to me.
Right.
So instead, I will say Whoopi Goldberg movie.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. I can't not say it. Star Trek The Next Generation cast.
This is why I bowed out when I did.
Star Trek The Next... So LeVar Burton... movie.
Community cast.
Oh. I was really hoping not to.
Reading Rainbow.
I was either thinking that or you were going to say Roots.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I never think of that one.
That would have been rough.
That's a dead end.
Yeah.
No, there are so many people who
are
in that movie.
It's like...
Had I been alive in the 70s, I might have been
well-versed.
Okay.
Right.
Got it. Alison Brie movie.
Ooh.
I don't know who that is, actually. Can you describe what she looks like?
Have you seen Community?
She's pretty.
Oh. Yeah, she is. She's
brunette.
I'm pretty. Surprised. I can't think of her name. It's Annie. It's Annie from Community.
Mm-hmm. Annie.
She looks like the...
Ooh, and I have my answer for this, too.
You know this creepy stalky girlfriend on YouTube who does all those? She kind of looks like that.
Better than that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I can't even. Do you know what an actress? What else? Other actress would you say she looks like? Sort of like a brunette.
She's kind of got a. I hate to throw this out there because this sounds wrong, but it isn't. But she kind of has that Jewish. Slender face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is kind of slightly stereotypical, but she wears her hair well enough that she kind of has that unique feel.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even picture her face right now.
Would I be very far off to say that she has sort of some hints of Jessica Alba? Some hints of...
That's being generous.
Yeah,
if
maybe
I'm
like a Natalie Portman, Jessica Alba, Canal Street knockoff kind of thing.
I would just say almost girl next door-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay.
She's probably was in a movie like that or something at some point.
Probably.
See, I haven't watched Community as much as I've watched Parks and Rec, and I often get those two confused.
Ah.
Because the plot lines are slightly similar. But needless to say, I'm going to have to pass as I do not know who that is.
Okay.
Okay, so that's Allison Brie to me. And I will say Scream 4.
Holy crap. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I will say movie.
Cool. Mad Men cast.
Vincent Kartheiser.
That's not how I wanted this to go.
But I will also say cast.
John Hamm. Oh, nice. Nice. Well, you know this, but movie.
Children's Hospital cast.
There it is.
Oh, boy. Okay. Children's Hospital. Is this...
Is this Adult Swim.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, Adult Swim. Okay. Let's see. I guess I haven't been watching enough late night TV.
Which, Children's Hospital is one of the shows that will be coming to Netflix March 30th, along with Adventure Time, Ben 10, Green Lantern, Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
No way.
And the remake of Dallas.
Whoa.
Curveball at the end.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, can I wait till March 30th?
No.
To give you an answer?
No.
Okay.
To be continued.
Let's go with I'm going to call your bluff and say you can't name someone else from the cast of Children's Hospital.
Okay. Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler.
Okay, fine.
Rob Corddry.
Well, yep. There you go again.
Bravo.
Nicely done.
It's fun to see what you know and don't know.
Yes.
we should try that 3-on-1 thing now.
Oh,
that would be fun.
Well, I think if we do that, it would be a good time to maybe ramp up and do that as a bonus track.
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed. So,
awesome.
I'm going to... Eric, you were actually out first after Andrew, so I'm going to say, do you have anything to plug, anything that's coming up Friday or thereafter that either you're participating in and you want people to know about, or something that you're just going to and you want people to know about? Any sort of free plug?
Yeah, I will be skiing at Afton Alps this Friday. Everyone is welcome to join. Admission is just pay for it. And I'll see you there. I will be wearing black Ray-Bans and a red jacket.
Stylish.
Thank you.
Are you on Twitter or anything like that?
I am. My Twitter handle is an @ followed by Eric Nelson, MN, ERIKNELSONMN. And you can also find me on Instagram with that.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
There we go. Andrew, how about you? What's on your horizon?
I am Radical Businessman on Flickr. I've really gotten into that. I just got a pro membership.
Ooh. Well, I mean, I have some art right there.
Right. And I'm getting into more of that. I'm liking it. I'm liking the benefits. Cool. So that's cool. You can look at all my work on there. Other than that, just Vitamins 3 on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, that's about it for me. And I will also be skiing on Friday with my brother here, as well as the next every Friday till the end of March. So
excellent.
Provided there's snow or...
Right. I guess my message is just don't hibernate this winter. What are you doing? We live in Minnesota. It gets cold, but now we're past the point of solstice. So, I mean, it's the
It's only going to get warmer from
here. It's only going to get warmer. The sun's only going to set or later.
Except for the like -5 we're getting this weekend.
Yeah, well, this is this will be the the rough part, and then everything else will just be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, so many people enjoy winter a lot more when they have a way to enjoy the weather outside.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Mm-hmm.
Find something. Go sledding. Yeah.
Stream something outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, listen to a podcast.
Go turn on your car, hang out in your car, let it warm up, and then, you know, plug in your phone or whatever into your stereo system. Just listen to it there, watch something there.
And then slowly roll your windows down to get acclimated to the temperature.
Right.
But then, you know, roll them back up because you got to, you know, maintain the heat again.
Yes.
Got to build that back up. Oh, then, you know, you turn on the seat heater as a backup, but then you know, crack the back windows a little bit.
There you go. Yep. You gotta ease yourself into the weather. Just enjoy it in degrees, by degrees. Yeah, the pun there.
Kind of like temperature.
Yeah, that's about it. Try ice skating or cross-country skiing. We have so much to offer, but...
I know a lot of snowmobilers, too. That's a little bit more of an expensive hobby.
Yeah, that one, not as much, exercise-based.
Also, but. Pretty sedentary hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting there.
Sitting riding.
Well, if you're doing like cool bumps and off-road stuff, I suppose it's all off-road, but yeah, I've seen, you know, get a little arm workout, leg workout that way, maybe. I don't know.
Like riding a horse.
Yeah. So, Dan, do you have something you'd like to plug?
I do, kind of indirectly, because it's not something I've tried yet, but it's something I am incredibly interested in. It's those people who buy warehouses and then just outfit them with trampolines.
Oh.
And I found out there is one in Prairie called Air Max with 3 X's.
Ooh.
And I guess it's like I think it's something like $7 for half an hour and then $4 thereafter for every half hour thereafter. And then you have to rent their special socks, whatever they are.
Oh, I was going to ask, do you get free socks at this place?
No, it's they charge $2.
Sock rentals.
Ooh. Is the do you have to rent the socks or can you buy the socks?
I think you rent the socks.
Oh.
Or I think it's something you put over your actual socks. Like, it's not like you can only be in bare feet and then put on these socks. No, I think it's more like a foot covering.
Okay. Is that the Groupon you posted?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they have a Groupon right now, but it's one... Craig Best just posted a picture of being something similar to that, and it is really intriguing. And then Emily told me about this like 8th grader who broke his arm 3 minutes into being in one of those rooms. And my logic was, kids are stupid, so of course that would happen.
Yeah.
I am smart, and I can navigate and, you know, figure out what the next step would be if I propel myself in a certain direction thanks to 11th grade physics. Because that's what that kid didn't have. But it's one of those things where I want to try it, but at the same time, I'm not an experienced trampoliner to the, you know, among the best of them. So it'll be interesting. But I want other people to try it and then tell me, or at least like get a big group of people to go so that in confidence, you know, one person breaks their arm, everybody breaks their arm.
I would love
it. Is that togetherness?
I'm with you. I will. You have my sword. yeah.
And all I did was I searched for Air Max 3X's Eden Prairie, and they have a really weird web page where it's like there's the web page and then the text section hopped over to the other side. So you have to scroll over, but it has most of the information you need.
Sweet. So do they allow Nerf guns?
No, but they do have a dedicated dodgeball court, I believe.
Ooh. Oh, very nice.
So, you know.
I imagine bringing Nerf guns onto the trampoline, into the trampoline room and like doing like Ender's Game style stuff. Like,
yeah. Like but they're doing the commercials where like they're making sick dives and shooting each other while diving.
But
at
the same time, it's like every time that there'd be any sort of jump, either you'd crush them or you'd get them between the gaps and they'd go beneath the abyss that is, you know, whatever's under there.
I suppose. Yeah.
You need to have something pretty big and solid so it doesn't disappear. Like at least a tennis ball size.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or we could all just have big bad bows, because those arrows, they wouldn't fall through as easily.
Well, then it's just turning into global guts again.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with that, though,
no,
right?
No, no. But other than that, you can find me on Twitter, Dan L. Whelan, W-H-E-L-A-N. Yeah.
Excellent.
Adam, okay. How about you?
So Madness, again, is coming up. I've mentioned it in the past. It happens monthly. Hosted by the Unit Playwrights. It's a group of playwrights that each write a 10-minute play. Producer Katie actually wrote one a couple months ago.
And mm-hmm.
It was awesome. And so they write the scripts. They hand the scripts to the actors, who rehearse it for like a half hour, and then they put on the show the same night for a live audience. It's really fun. It's like a quick shot of theater if you want to get involved with it. And this month is going to be on the 29th of January. They usually do Tuesdays. I think the 29th is a Tuesday. Pretty sure, but for sure it's January 29th.
It is a Tuesday.
Okay, cool. True to form. So, yeah, there's that. That happens at the Playwrights Center up on Franklin. And what else do I have? I think that's pretty much all I've got for now. You can find me on Twitter at @AdamErdMann.
It's his name.
Yep, it is my name. And I have tweeted recently.
Nice.
Like one time.
Have you done the Facebook link up?
I did. I was successful.
So I mean, anything that you do there counts too.
Yeah. And I just recently updated my profile on LinkedIn, if you want to look at that. Prospective employers, so
and there is a link on bufferingpodcast.com to both of our LinkedIn pages.
Oh,
I made sure that was intact.
Excellent. So yeah, and coming very soon, there will be a big update to the Buffering Podcast website.
I'd say a week or so.
So keep your eyes open for that.
New and improved.
Yes, indeed. So yep, I think that's all I have. Oh, yep. And you can find out what music I've been listening to lately on Last FM. My handle there is AdMan7.
Please don't pay attention to mine, because it has Wilson Phillips and William Shatner on there. That's okay.
Yeah.
But Andrew, Eric, thank you very much for being on episode 68.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for showing us your wisdom in video games and
snowboarding.
And sure.
That was fun.
It's a pleasure to be on.
I like having our tangent heavy, not quite streaming, but we still get like little mini plugs in there across the way.
So, yeah.
Good episode.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Out of sight.
It's a fun historical Minnesota piece, too.
yeah.
So, yeah.
But we'll see everybody next week for episode 69.
69. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Fade to black. Or we fade out with like a...